NOM Update News. I'm Margaret DeMaribus, and it's 9:02. The Nome Planning Commission approved a variance request from the Evangelical Covenant Church of Nome at last night's meeting. Commissioner Greg Smith explains.
The variance means that the Nome Covenant Church will be allowed to put some ramps and decks in setback areas for access.
Planning Commission member Larry Peterson explains that setback areas are minimum requirements of space from a property line. This allows access for fire crews in case of an emergency, as well as space to meet utility codes. Peterson says there's a 5-foot requirement between lots. On street sides of buildings, there's a 10-foot requirement. Peterson adds that the church's permanent structure is within city setback requirements. Peterson says he voted to approve the variance, knowing that changes can be made.
I think steps and decks can be moved or removed at the city's request if they're getting in the way or if it's a fire marshal requirement.
Nathan Nagaruk is the project manager for the Nome Covenant Church's new building. He says they're very happy to have their variance approved and will be starting the planning process.
We don't quite have a plan yet, but once that gets finished, we'll get a material list and get materials scheduled on barges this spring.
He says the first barge should be expected at the end of June carrying supplies, but they'll begin tearing down some buildings in May. The next Nome Planning Commission meeting will be held on January 22nd. Revenue Commissioner Brian Butcher says the Parnell administration intends to submit legislation to change Alaska's oil tax structure. One element being looked at is production tax credits, which could top $1 billion in the next fiscal year. Governor Sean Parnell is considering tax changes as a way to boost declining production. Oil is responsible for about 90% of Alaska's unrestricted revenue, money that is easier to access and spend. The Revenue Department says unrestricted general fund revenue could be $1.6 billion lower than earlier forecasted for fiscal years 2013 and 2014 due to factors including lower than expected oil prices. Such revenue is forecasted to be between $6 and $7 billion a year for the next 9 years, depending upon higher oil prices. The State of Alaska and the University of Alaska Fairbanks sponsored the second annual Alaska Strategic and Critical Minerals Summit in Fairbanks last Friday. Geologists, miners, state legislators, and key leaders from both state and federal agencies and international companies gathered to find out more about the potential to explore and develop Alaska's minerals and rare earth elements. KUAC's Emily Schwing reports permitting and energy were key issues this year. Fairbanks North Star Borough Mayor Luke Hopkins reminded those who attended this year's summit that interior Alaska has a rich mining history, but he said there's a long way to go before mining development can take off once again in the region.
I think one of the pieces that I certainly hope to see some actions this year and next year as we see our congressional delegation moving forward with one-stop permitting, and if that really comes to pass and we can really put some of that in place, we don't have to wait 12 or 14 years to get permits.
U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski is a ranking member of the Senate Committee on Energy and Natural Resources. She delivered an address via DVD. She told the crowd that the permitting process for natural resource development across the country needs to be reworked.
At the moment, the U.S. is tied with Papua New Guinea for dead last in the world in the time that it takes to make a yes or no decision on permit applications.
Aside from permitting woes, newly named State Senate Majority Leader John Coghill addressed what he says is another major issue that hinders the industry in Alaska.
One of the overarching issues you're going to hear talked about over and over and over again in this legislature is how do we get energy to those areas? You're sitting in a town right now that feels the pinch of high energy costs that just has to be cracked.
Representatives from Alaska's largest native corporations were joined by international industry leaders from Germany and Japan State Department of Natural Resources Commissioner Dan Sullivan told the crowd the goal of the meeting was to stimulate private sector investment in Alaska's mineral resources. Alaska's largest city experienced another earthquake yesterday, but it was not as strong as the one that shook the Anchorage area on Monday. Yesterday's earthquake had a preliminary magnitude of 3.2 and was felt in Anchorage and the community of Eagle River, 10 miles to the north. The Alaska Earthquake Information Center says the quake occurred at 5:35 a.m. It was an aftershock to Monday's 5.8 magnitude quake. And three Alaska Native artists have won fellowships from the Native Arts and Cultures Foundation. NACF is a national organization dedicated to the revitalization and appreciation of Native arts and cultures. This year, the NACF awarded fellowship money to 12 American Indian, Alaska Native, and Native Hawaiian artists to put toward their work. One artist is Inupiat Joan Kane of Anchorage, who was a co-winner in this year's literature category. Kane was awarded $20,000. Kane, whose maternal roots are from King Island and Mary's Igloo, visited Nome in early November as part of the Poetry North program. And for your gold prices at this hour, gold is down $3.90 an ounce to $1,693.90. Silver is down 11 cents an ounce to $32.90. Zinc is at 91 cents a pound. Alaska Airlines Flight 151 was expected at 9 o'clock and is expected to depart at 10:02. It's unofficially minus 5 degrees at the KNOM studios, 9 minutes after 9 o'clock.